Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to issue 4,235 of the world's leading and only audio newspaper for a visual world, with me, Andy Zaltzman, here in London, where, not for the first time in the history of our esteemed Radio Chronicle of the Known Universe, politics has been happening this week. And without wishing to give a spoiler as to what may be coming up later in this week's show... Yes! Joining me in no fewer than three dimensions, right here in my house, to discuss the dramatic events of this week and whether there has ever been a clearer definition of the meaning of the word inevitable, I have Alice Fraser and Mark Steele. Well, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it?
It's, yeah, and I find myself actually really, really, I mean, genuinely on the side of Boris Johnson. Ooh. On this one, because I feel that most politicians, as we know, they have principles when they go into politics and they abandon them. But I don't think Boris did that. I think he started out as a self-serving, narcissistic, sociopathic, f***ing lunatic, compulsive, lying, shit-faced, f***ing horror of a cesspit of a barrel of filth. And I think he stayed true to that right to the end. And I think we should commend him for that.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, he was an unkempt, self-indulgent, greedy, obnoxious, mass-murdering bastard who, like...
Sorry,
scratch that. I'll go back. He's an unwanted man in almost exactly the way a man on a wanted poster is an unwanted man. But it turns out that letting people die through, like, smug negligence, grift, nepotism and incompetence isn't arrestable in the same way as driving a bus full of pensioners off a cliff is... Even if, in this instance, many more pensioners than a busload died, suffocated by their own lungs, and those deaths can be traced directly back to your incompetent self-insert erotic Churchill fan fiction. And you think of Churchill, you think, yes, he was an unkempt, self-indulgent, greedy, obnoxious, mass-murdering bastard who saved us from the Nazis, and the bit of that I'm going to try and cosplay is all the bits I said, minus the Nazis, because I'm friends with some of them.
Yes, there's no redeeming qualities. That's quite a quality, isn't it?
I mean, he literally, he hasn't actually resigned. He said he will resign.
Yes, this is the key. I mean, I don't know if he's plotting some kind of miraculous escape. I mean, it feels a bit like, you know, one of those horror movies, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. Well, on that night, if you were in Britain, I don't know, it was like elsewhere, but I mean, you were...
Yes.
Yeah, here. I mean, it was that night, we were talking about this earlier, but just where you went, oh, let's put the telly... Come, quick, get the kettle
event
on. Come
television.
Like it was like a big sporting event. Put it on, and it was just... Oh, he sacked Gove by that, but I thought, you're just going to sack random people. I've now sacked Maureen, who works in the dry cleaners. She's a sneak. Just... And you think, there was a point when he said, I'm not resigning, I thought, oh, I was so happy. Because I thought, this goes on now for another, it's going to end up with you crawling out onto the roof of Downing Street like Al Pacino, with covered in cocaine and Nadine Doris going, you f***ing shit out, you f***ing leave him alone, he's the best Prime Minister we've ever had, you f***ing traitors, and he's going to be... SAS are going to take him out. It's fantastic.
I do not think that that's out of the picture. I think it's going to end with him up the top of Big Ben with Carrie under one arm, swatting at helicopters, just refusing to leave. My favourite bit of it was the Tory MPs like stumbling when the writing was on the wall. They were like so quickly trying to get their resignations in before he resigned.
Yeah.
Some actually missed it. Some resigned after he'd already announced that he was going to. Because I don't think they technically counted to the overall tally.
No, I don't know.
Oh, right. Is that right? It was still coming in. It was, I think it was just fantastic entertainment. And all of those resignations. It is with great sadness that I must, that I can no longer work alongside. It's been my honour. It's been my pride and honour to work alongside somebody that I now realise is a relentlessly sociopathic narcissist. And it is with great sadness that I can no longer continue to serve alongside someone who is the most morally reprehensible person, a fruit bat in all capacities. And I shall miss working with him.
For years I have been swallowing gallons of cum, and now at last it sickens me to my stomach. Yes.
Red, but I wasn't my cum. I don't know if it was my cum until the show. Cum investigation.
He literally said, them's the breaks.
Oh, yes. Really? No, this was interesting. So, well, let's just go over the timeline.
All right.
Of what happened before Johnson ended up, you know, holed up in a bunker realising it was all over. You picked the wrong World War II leader, you idiot. So we've basically gone from greased pig to hog roast in 48 hours of chaos. And I mean, it was kind of appropriate way for, you know, his 3 years of chaos. Because he fundamentally does have, you know, it is almost a fundamentalist belief in mayhem as a political philosophy. So it was a kind of appropriate way for it to reach its, sort of its end, as you say. But it's not quite the end yet. But after all the previous scandals, the incompetencies, the immoralities, the hogwashings, and the deeds and words that in simpler times would have resulted in him being, I don't know, given a debenture in a not particularly luxurious room in the Tower of London, he was finally brought down by a mixture of sexual misconduct and bullshit, which seemed appropriate. The sexual misconduct was not his. So allegations of sexual impropriety against Chris Pincher, the deputy chief whip, which is a fancy term for assistant school bully. And Johnson falsely claimed he'd not been aware of previous similar allegations and sent his underling ministers out to falsely claim those false claims. And that seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's one remaining fragment of intact vertebra. That camel has taken a lot.
Yeah, that camel, scaffolding on it.
I don't think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I think the vote of no confidence was them, like, they voted for him with the understanding that he'd take the hint in the way that previous prime ministers have resigned far less, having even called the vote of no confidence is sufficient for them to be like, take the hint and leave. So he's like, this is not the straw that broke the camel's back. This is the straw dropped onto Wile E. Coyote, who is already far out over the edge of the cliff and just hasn't realised that there's no ground under him anymore.
Maybe, yeah. I think probably... I thought he was stuffed. The moment I thought it was... All honesty was when Ant and Dec were doing those jokes in the I'm a Celebrity last year with the parties. I thought, wow, this is... If you think, Mr. Johnson, that this is only the Westminster bubble and Ant and Dec who... probably wasn't in Australia last year.
They're more mainstream than a horny salmon.
Exactly. And they were doing jokes all the way through about Boris Johnson's parties, and they'd have made a little T-shirt with Vote Boris. And, oh, look, the first contestant for next year's already been announced. I thought, well, you're stuffed once that's become the norm.
Yeah.
But it's taken that long for it to permeate through that, and the booing at the Jubilee as well. And so there is even with the Chris Pincher thing, I've said the gropey sex pest man, I couldn't have known about the gropey sex pests, and then it turns out, oh, you did, Noel, and if it had carried on, he'd still now be going, I can't have known at the time, because at the time, I was a pelican. I was in a pond. I was catching fish. And until we've had an investigation into the transformation from pelican, I can't possibly say. And
he's
like Basil Fawlty, you know. Basil Fawlty just can't stop lying. And and no matter how much he's caught, he just can't. And even now, them's the breaks. Just bad luck. What bad luck, them's the breaks. Just I said I wasn't at a party that I was at, and then it turned out I was at it. What? Who's going to count for luck like that?
Well, exactly. I mean, the breaks. But them's the breaks is a term referring to random acts of misfortune. Yes.
If he knew where the breaks were, he wouldn't have driven quite so far into Clown Town.
I mean, it's like, you know, you have a priceless Ming vase. You scrawl a cock on balls on it in indelible marker pen. You then smash it with a 5-iron and urinate on its shattered remnants and say, "Well, I'm afraid your vase has suffered somewhat unfortunate physics." It's not the breaks.
You then deny that you drew the cock and balls, although it's on film, and you then announce that there's going to be an investigation into who drew the cock and balls, and that until you, because I might not, it's possible that it was not me, I might be Shirley Bassey or Peppa Pig, so we don't know. And then you say it'd be really, really bad to go on about the vase at the moment, because we should draw a line under it, because there's a war in Ukraine.
Yes.
The Let's not politicise our politics, shall we? I mean, the upside is that Keir Starmer's clearly hired a better joke writer. He said it's like the sinking ship leaving the rack.
Yeah, which I thought was like, a good joke.
Yeah, he stepped
it up.
And
another one, the Charge of the Lightweight Brigade.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon he's hired one of my friends in the comedy scene.
Think he's going to punch up to his
speeches.
Head.
Yeah.
I think I once got asked to write some jokes for a Labour politician.
Did you?
Yes. And I said no, but...
Which one was it?
It was one of the Milibands. I can't quite remember which one.
It's your fault. I wrote jokes for Corbyn. I've forgotten that.
That's your fault.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He did work. And because I thought of it, and I thought, so it was when he was pictured on a Virgin train. Right, remember that?
Yes.
It was pictured sitting on a Virgin train when he was leader of the Labour Party, and there was a picture of it. And this is the state of Britain's train service. You know, people are just sat everywhere and all that, crowded trains. And so, because I'd agreed to write a joke, his opening joke, and then I just sat there in the kitchen thinking, what am I going to do? This is going to go to the conference. What have I done? And then I thought, oh, I've got it. I thought he'll start his speech by saying, it's marvellous to see this room absolutely packed, although Virgin Trains have assured me there are actually 600 empty seats. That'd be bad. And then, as soon as I sent it to him, and they went, oh, that, I've got a thing from his office, this is perfect. And I have never been so nervous. I was sitting watching the telly going, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up.
And did he fuck it up?
No. He fucked up everything after that.
Yeah, I mean, he did say some extraordinary things in his resignation speech, for those who missed it. What can you guess? Which of the following was in there? Humility, contrition, remorse, an acceptance of responsibility for the predicament he, his party, his government, his country find themselves in. Maybe an acceptance of the flaws and mistakes that have led to his precipitous downfall. Or was it arrogance, recrimination, blame, delusion and piffle? Yes, correct. It was option C. To be fair, the same qualities that won him the leadership, won him a general election and won him gold member status in the International Association of Willfully Divisive Politicians and Rampant Egotists. He didn't even say that he'd resigned. He just sort of talked around it and blamed the party, and he talked this bizarre stuff about the herd mentality. He said, when the herd moves, it moves, which is true, but if you are standing behind the herd firing a rifle in the air wearing a lion outfit, it's more likely to move. He was standing, as he gave the speech, behind a lectern that sported the UK's national crest, which features a lion and a unicorn, and I don't think that's ever seemed more appropriate, a creature renowned for inflicting its own aggressive nature on others in a brutal and often terminal way, and something entirely made up. I mean, it's always been appropriate for us as a nation, but even more so.
When he said the herd, I kept thinking, is this the herd that he thinks is getting immune? Is this the immune herd that he's talking about?
This is a different herd.
Herd immunity. It's a herd rather than
just,
herd immunity.
Yeah, that just yeah. I mean, no, I thought he was quite aggressive in that speech about that I'm not accepting any responsibility for any of this. We're only a few percent behind in the polls, and I think he honestly believes it. And I bet he's sitting there right now thinking, no, there's still a chance. There's still a. What do you think, Mog? Well, one has to accept that, and I think that's probably what they're talking about. And can't you incant some Latin and summons up some spirits or something?
Is it possible that? You know, Jacob Rees-Mogg could stand for leadership, then allow Boris Johnson to use his skin.
He wouldn't fit.
No, it'd be very, very flabby, wouldn't it? Jacob Rees-Mogg's quite a skinny sort of creature, isn't he?
He said it was eccentric to remove him now, which is true. I mean, it would have been less eccentric to remove him after 3 minutes in 10 Downing Street saying, you've had your fun, you've fulfilled your lifetime goal, now let the f***ing adults do their jobs.
They really are the Bert and Ernie of British politics. You've got Mogg with his sort of tall head and Boris with his round head. I just don't trust them to understand any of the common meanings of words. Like, I think they live in this obscure fantasy land where food security is that thing where you're a baby and you have food in one hand but you insist on having food in the other hand before you'll eat the food you have in one hand. and that's the crisis that they think is facing the nation.
He stands out amongst all the people who went to boarding school from the age of four and were then sent to Eton and were told that you, by dint of your own birthright, will be a supreme leader and you are superior to all the people in the world who haven't been born into your family line. Even amongst that demographic, he was a cunt.
The path of the resignations was, I mean, particularly for me and my, I've been immersed this summer in my other job as a cricket statistician with just numbers floating in front of my eyes, and just seeing the total of the resignations totting up was, well, that was glorious from a stats point of view. It began with two of his most senior cabinet ministers resigned on Monday, Chancellor of the Exchequer Rishi Sunak and Health Secretary Sadia Javid. And that sparked a deluge, as we're talking about, of resignations of other ministers and government officials. Sorry?
Can't spark a deluge, it's fire and water. You're too different.
Well, there are no rules anymore, Alice. and during the course of this, on Wednesday, you had to face a grilling by a parliamentary committee. And this was kind of, so at the time, you know, his cabinet was collapsing. He was facing questions saying, oh, he's still going to be prime minister tomorrow. But they're also like really kind of forensic questioning about government policies. And this highlighted his frankly almost heroic lack of attention to detail and grasp of policy. And it did sort of highlight how, even without these ethical and behavioural issues, he is still harrowingly unfit for office. He managed to cling on to the following morning when the resignations reached the half-century mark, sparking another deluge of
Did it spark related. A little round of applause? was it a county cricket 50? Yeah. And the first all private secretary to the deputy minister of transport to resign, and that brings up the 50. So jolly well done to Marcia.
It was riveting television, because at the same time as he was being grilled, this number was totting up. So there's a little bit of that thing where that woman who tweeted the like mildly racist tweet was in the air and getting fired, and everyone was just watching to see the Schadenfreude when she landed and realised that she'd ruined her life. With an ill-timed tweet, and it had a little bit of that of him. Is anyone keeping him up to date on the fact that it's all crumbling out from under his feet?
I think there is a shadow minister for Schadenfreude on the Labour front bench. Who's been very busy this week.
A shadow minister.
But it's extraordinary how he's broke it, the rules have all changed, haven't they? So you're right. So that even that thing would have normally, with someone going, I don't know, oh, it's this, I think it's something to do with Ireland. No, it is actually to do with Canada, Prime Minister. Yeah, it's all the same, the people that, anyway, whoever it is who's now in jail or something. No, they're not in jail. They're actually the head of the International Monetary Fund. Yes, this person, anyway. I'll be honest, I was drawing a picture of a porcupine while you were listening, but that was the economic forecast for the next year. Yes, well, fuck them all.
Well, that is quite
the them all because them. And now we've just got used to that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the weaker he becomes, the stronger he becomes. He's like a flasher with a humiliation fetish. He thrives on being told to fuck off.
That's going to happen, isn't it? So what's the odds of him getting through these next 2 months without flashing? I didn't flash. It wasn't my penis. He's under investigation. I cannot.
The my favourite resignation, which is, I mean, it's quite a long list actually, was the Education Secretary Michelle Donnellan, who resigned after less than 2 days. Making her actually arguably the most effective education secretary of the past 12 years of Conservative rule, based on the simple mathematical equation of benefits brought minus damage done. I think that, you know, makes her an all-time great.
I did
also
notice,
demonstrated her ability to learn a lesson.
Yes, really. I did notice, to be fair to her, about 20 hours into her tenure, that education started improving quite a lot. So I think she was doing a really, really excellent job. I miss her.
Is this not, you know, perhaps a lesson for the future, that really all we need for cabinet ministers is just a series of 2-day appointments so no one has the time to do too much damage?
my favourite bit about the broadcast was the fact that there were activists outside the Houses of Parliament playing Yakety Sax, the Benny Hill theme music.
Oh!
Apparently inspired by a tweet by Hugh Grant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it became the soundtrack of the Tories' humiliation as they, in front of all of the world's news services. I just feel like, if only, to me, hitherto, inexplicably, the appeal of Hugh Grant has been completely, it's passed me by. But if he'd been, like, if that appeal had been based on giving, like, activism tactic advice rather than being a bumbling, floppy, authorial insert in his Hollywood heartthrob days, I might have understood the point of Hugh Grant enough to do some throbbing myself.
It's very much in his favour. I was watching it with my son, and he suggested we get a little whiskey, so we did that. And we were watching it, and when that, and I was sort of, I'm a bit ashamed, really, because I was. I was sort of trying to listen to whatever that bloke was going to say, which was completely of no consequence. And then my son Elliot just went, "They're playing the Benny Hill music." Oh, so British and so entertaining.
There was another highlight which I saw on the TV coverage. The evening before, when all the cabinet ministers were going in to tell him to go with at least some vague vestige of dignity, and I think it was Nadine Dorries walked out, and they do that thing where they shout questions across the road and no one ever answers them, and they say, "Oh, is he going to resign? Are you going to resign?" And so one of the journalists just shouts out, "How many children has he got?" Oh, that moment just kind of summed up the Johnsonian regime.
Now they're letting him stay on, though.
Yeah, well, this is... So as we said, he said he's going to... Well, he's no longer leader of the Conservative. He stepped down as leader of the Conservative Party, so he's interim Prime Minister until the Tories have a new leader, which is likely to be in early September. So he's got kind of 2 months serving out his notice. And I had one job in my life. I had to do a month serving out my notice, and... I have to say, I wasn't fully focused on the job in hand. I spent a lot of time doing crosswords, and I may have emerged with some branded pens.
What was the job?
Why do they call them crosswords when they make you so happy?
It was I was sub-editor at a business publishing house in my pre-comedy days.
I think this is what he's been shooting for the entire time. This is his perfect job. He is called Prime Minister, and yet he is not even allowed to do the job itself. You're not allowed to make any big changes if you're interim Prime Minister. So I think this is what he's been waiting for all along.
So just Prime Minister in a purely ceremonial way.
Yeah, having the credit and none of the work.
Duchy of Lancaster or the Duke of Cornwall or something. Yeah.
So if he can then stretch out the Tory leadership election for, say, 10 years, then that's his lifelong dream fulfilled.
It's a strange thing to leave him as Prime Minister. You would think that we have come to terms with the fact that the person who has been the Prime Minister is a sociopath, serial, compulsive liar, that there is no restraint upon him whatsoever, that there is nothing that can be done that can stop him being a dangerous maniac. So you can only be Prime Minister for another 2 months. Now, do you promise not to do anything bad? Do you promise?
He is exactly the kind of lunatic who'll get into a modern car and not plug his seatbelt in and then ignore the beeping. Like, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, Boris Johnson. He just, I cannot understand somebody who will stay longer than they are welcome. As somebody who leaves things regularly that I am welcome at for the fear that I might suddenly become unwelcome.
Well, I've had gigs where I've definitely stayed way beyond the point of being welcome. He compares himself.
That's what it'd be like, a comic. That's the equivalent, isn't it? The whole room, you're doing somewhere a bit tricky, late at the Comedy Store. And the whole room, as like they've asked you to leave, they've left. There's some of them are coming in and screaming at you to go. And then you say, "Yep." And then you announce, "I am carrying on. I'm going to carry on with this show. I am not going to go along with your herd instinct." And then they're burning. They're setting fire to the place. The army have surrounded the place. And you go, "Well, I'm sacking you. That bloke who left 20 minutes ago, I'm sacking you."
He compared himself to a Japanese army officer who refused to surrender at the end of the Second World War and didn't emerge from the Philippine jungle until 29 years later. Now, this, to me, sounds like a TV reality show we could easily crowdfund. So, I mean, I'm sure you'd chip in quite a bit for that, wouldn't you? Boris Johnson on
Boris
his own
Johnson
in the
Philippine
30 years.
Jungle yeah. for 29 years, hacking away, still yeah. thinking he's fighting the Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Demanding a personal letter from the Emperor of Japan.
Sold my house for that. But it was kind of weird that the Conservatives said he can't be trusted to lead their party, but they will let him run the country for another 2 months.
A nuclear power.
That does show exactly where the well-being of the United Kingdom is.
Yes, it is possible.
I think he's secretly hoping that Russia will bomb the UK.
Yeah, definitely.
And they'll
is.
Let him stay on.
Definitely he is. And I think that there's every chance that, what are we now, 4,021 of the Bugle, that 4,027 will take place in a bunker. Because he's... Oh, God, I mean, that's... Well, there we are. That's what's happened. One of the candidates, Liz Truss, I mean, Putin said that when he put his nuclear arms on high alert, it was because of a speech by Liz Truss. And I thought, I can take the human race as a species coming to an end after however million years it's been. I can just about accept that. But let it not be because of Liz that's what brought all civilization to its final conclusion.
In analysing the legacy of Johnson, he's, I think it's fair to say, had a decent amount of criticism from across the political spectrum. Andrew Neil in the New York Times wrote, "No other Prime Minister in the long history of Britain's parliamentary democracy has been so prepared to sacrifice the governance of the nation to save his own skin. That is Mr. Johnson's special achievement." That's not a ringing endorsement for someone who is essentially on the same side of the political seesaw. And a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, he delivered Brexit. And he did deliver Brexit in the same way that I delivered my son just upstairs from where we're recording this. In fact, incompetently, I got away with it despite not knowing what the f*** I was doing. But that's not... Yes, I did. But I guess the
thing
is you deliver something...
That's an extraordinary thing to
throw into the conversation. Yes, you've got... that was... I did report on it on the Bugle. It was world exclusive, in fact, just 3 days later, back in 2008, during the final day of the Chennai Test match when India chased down 380 to beat England, of course. Just to put that in some kind of historical perspective for you, Mark. But delivering it, that's not getting it done, is it? That's you know...
Being present while it delivers
yes.
itself.
And also, you know, you've then got to bring it up. And that seems to be, with Brexit, that's all people wanted was just... its birth, and then it will be allowed to grow up feral in the woods. And also, I guess, you know, like my son, Johnson did have input in the process by which Brexit was eventually born. I had one very little input in that process. So he leaves intensely disliked by a huge proportion of the public, which is never a problem under our first-past-the-post electoral system. But what became a problem for Johnson, who did have, you know, and still probably has, intense support from... a core of Johnsonian loyalists was that, you know, unluckily for him as Prime Minister, you have to do more than just witter on, which is really his one core skill. Obviously, it is still a part of the job, but people tend to take a little more notice of your witterings, and also you then have to actually do stuff, which is where the whole thing falls apart. So who will follow Johnson? It appears to be gearing up to be something like a 12-cornered shit fight between various candidates from different parts of the Conservative political swamp. Liz Truss, you mentioned, who, according to the Daily Mail, is going to pitch herself as the female Boris Johnson, which is not something anyone wants to think about. It's going to take a fortnight to whittle down the long list to what the Tory members of Parliament conclude are the least unelectable two. And to put in context the nature of this field, Dominic Raab felt that he had to announce that he's not going to be in the running rather than everyone just safely assuming it. And I think that revealed quite a lot.
Could they all stand and vote for themselves and it's just one, they all get one? Well, what system? What does this look like from outside, Alice? From if you're sort of from
look, as an Australian, we roll over our politicians incredibly quickly. So I'm not so much surprised at the fact that he's out as surprised by the fact that it's taking so long. I mean, in Australia, you can have 8 prime ministers between breakfast and lunchtime.
I thought they lasted. How long was Morrison in?
I mean, that's different.
He was the longest for a while.
But that was because they had to prove that they weren't stabbing each other in the back constantly in order to regain the trust of the public before betraying it again. It was a whole thing.
Right.
It's a broad choice between proven incompetence, flagrantly inadequates, and delusional egotists. And in those terms, you think about it, Boris Johnson was a kind of unity candidate for the Conservatives for those qualities that they often look for. Also, some backbenchers who've never held cabinet positions up against cabinet ministers who've paraded their failings for years. It could be quite, an interesting choice. Home Secretary Priti Patel may be running. She might find out that saying you're going to catapult people to Rwanda doesn't work for all areas of politics. Jeremy Hunt, former health secretary and marmalade exporter, he could be in the running.
What a marvellous sort of populist touch he got. He made, like, junior doctors. These people are known for their extraordinary ability to be calm and happy under all you go. They have got people going in there going, I don't know who I am, I'm going to fight and all that. Okay, if you just like to sit down, that's it. Just let's have a look at this. They stay calm under all situations, and Jeremy Hunt managed to make those people go, you evil piece of dog shit! Why don't you fucking catch them a fucking filthy disease and die, you scum? Okay, if you just like to breathe in. So that's not good. And he's one of the sensible ones.
Yes.
And the whole thing is all gets chosen. This is the thing. So for people listening who aren't British, I mean, you must think, what is this system? 100,000 members of the Conservative Party will now choose the Prime Minister. And that the average member of the Conservative Party is 86 and lives in a village and wants to get India back. And thinks that lesbianism has been conjured up by the devil, and these people are going to choose the these people who think that rice is something evil and foreign.
They choose the Prime Minister.
Are going to choose the Prime Minister.
And I remember when Johnson took over from Theresa May, delving into the stats, and it was, I can't remember exactly, but it was something like only 8 or 9 of the last 35 prime ministers since politics sort of took its modern form have come to power for the first time having won a general election. There's been a lot of people taking over midterms. I think I included, coalition formations and things, but it's quite rare actually for a new prime minister to come in by winning an election.
Yes, they sometimes
subsequently win. Yeah, Thatcher and Blair were two.
And Cameron.
Cameron came in, but in coalition.
Right.
But they actually haven't been that many. So we do have this great tradition of defenestrating leaders midterm. Another candidate, Penny Mordaunt, former cabinet minister, was listed as favourite in the betting. You can bet on anything these days. And the Times newspaper, in its kind of collected profile of potential leaders, chose to use a photograph of Penny Mordaunt in a swimming costume from a TV show called Splash that she did in 2016. Despite there being copious quantities of photographs of Penny Mordaunt wearing things that are not swimming costumes, because why miss a chance to demean women in politics when it is there for you? It was a curious piece of editorial choice from the Times. Elstridge Hardley Barkslade could be standing, the junior minister for distracting from the real issues. He's set to throw his extremely top hat into the ring. He's pledged to act as a continuity chaos candidate, boasting a long record of administrative uselessness and a complete inability to concentrate. So that could be one for Johnson loyalistas. Frobisher Prantlburn, the MP for West Snuttershire, promises to get Brexit done every day for the next 100 years by signing a daily declaration of taking back control at 9 a.m. every morning. Bunty Clack, the sub-minister for uncosted promises in the Treasury, is thought to be ruminating an exploratory campaign. She was behind the very popular COVID campaigns in the wake of Eat Out to Help Out, including Free the Tipple, which offered a free drink in any pub, the sub-campaign Have a Stout for Nout, and of course Cows on Credit, encouraging people to start their own self-sufficient micro-farms with the offer of a free cow in exchange for a pint of milk donated to a local charity at some point in the next 20 years. Other candidates include A Void, which, I mean, I think, you know, I've said this many times before, an actual void could be...
I've got at least three people listed in my phone contacts as that.
Could be something that brings the Conservative Party together, detoxifies the brand. Margaret Thatcher, the Tory spiritual medium Lord Glockenrod, claims to be able to communicate with the former Prime Minister. And, well, rising in the betting quickly, Queen Elizabeth II, which I think...
Well, we are at a point where, especially when seeing as Prince Charles said that, is rumoured to have said that the Rwanda policy sending people to immigrant asylum seekers, send him to Rwanda, is said to be appalling, ghastly. And that means that when you think about that, that's where we're at. 360 years ago, there was a civil war in which we moved forward after a mighty battle in which there ended up being a compromise so that the royal family didn't have absolute power. They had to sort of share it much more with Parliament. And 360 years later, we're now at a point where if the royal family took power away from Parliament, that would be a move to the left. Yes, but she should. I mean, she must. She can't like him, can she? She must have. I bet she now sits there going, do you think we'd have been better off with f***ing Corbyn? Man, that's awful. He's probably... What do you imagine what's going to come out now? Now that all the gloves are off,
I mean,
and there's not been...
she enjoyed her own jubilee, let's be honest. She can't enjoy
No, because she
Boris
was probably
Johnson.
Terrified of it. But he's probably... the reason she was sat in the corner on her own at Prince Philip's funeral is because he's probably gone up there and gone, "Ah, oh, Your Majesty, sorry for your loss and all that, but if you want some hanky-panky now, you're on your own, like, there during the weekly meetings."
Well, Operation Save Big Dog, a previous effort to keep Johnson in power. Well, inevitably, when you have a big dog, there's things that you need to clear up. And that's essentially the situation this country now finds itself in. There are no more fridges to hide in. The game is up. Well, I realise we didn't even do the section in the bin, which is, I think, dignity in British politics, or indeed the... the anniversaries, well, let's just go with yesterday, was the north anniversary of a lifetime of bullshit-infused egomania, finally catching up with our soon-to-be former Prime Minister. So that's it for this week's commemorative bugle, cut out and keep. Mark, thanks very much for joining. Any things you'd like to plug?
If people want to... I'm doing another series of Mark Steele's in Town, which I'm just sort of in the middle of at the moment, and that starts on the BBC on August the 22nd, but these days, of course, that's irrelevant because it's going to be on BBC Sounds and the longer version, and they'll be out here all around the world, in Australia and everything. So there you are. You can listen to those soon from August.
And your podcast?
And the podcast is called What the F*** Is Going On? And... you can listen to that every week, and I'm getting near to an answer, right. But every time I get close to it, it just slips away.
Alice, you are soon heading to the Edinburgh Festival.
I will be at the Edinburgh Festival with my show Chronos. I'm doing it in a few places before then. Look on Twitter at alliterative, alliterative, or Instagram under the same address, or find me on patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, as well as the winners of the Dancy Lagarde Literary Tribute Competition, which have just been announced. Also, if you enjoyed this audio newspaper for Visual World, I am the host of the Glossy Magazine, the Sonic Glossy Magazine, that is the sister podcast to this one. So have a listen to that. It's all of the news, none of the politics.
And it's
that's exciting.
Yes.
Have you got any listeners?
I should name it. Just for listen to all the podcasts until you stumble onto my one.
Oh, no, I've listened to 9 about badminton, 7 about growing radishes. I'll get there in the end.
It's called The Gargle.
Right. Have you got any listeners in France, do you think?
There's a few. There tend to be. Oh, there's listeners dotted all over. We've had emails in from Antarctica.
Ooh.
Well.
Yeah, there was someone in the North Korea delegation who was wearing bugle socks. Did you not see that?
What?
Yeah, there was someone in a delegation to North Korea who was wearing bugle merch socks.
Right, not from the North Korean government.
No, not from the North Korean. God, no.
All their policies are in accordance with the bugle.
I mean, it could be real or it could be a lie. I definitely saw a photograph of someone in the North Korean delegation with bugle socks, but I don't know where I saw it or if it was true and I didn't verify it. But you can verify
it. Sounds like a fact. Let's call it a fact.
Yeah. So you can verify this for me. I saw this on a meme today and I'm resentful that you, with your classics education, have not told me this already. Right. But the Iliad, I mean, it is because the Ilium is another name for Troy.
Yeah.
And the ad means the story of. Yes. So actually the Iliad means Troy story.
Right, yes.
That's true?
That's true.
That's so great.
And actually, the word shithead comes from the term shithiad, which was an epic about morally questionable people.
Okay, excellent. Anyway, the reason I asked that question is because we're doing a Masters in Town show in Paris. I don't know when yet, but about the end of August. So I'm going to do it in English and French.
Well, there you go, buglers.
Do you speak in Paris.
I'm doing it in French despite speaking no French.
Yay.
No, I do speak French.
Yeah. Do go along, any right. France-based buglers. Until next week, goodbye.